If you'll have the Word of God open in front of you at Psalm 13, Psalm 13, this morning we were looking at Joseph being forgotten in prison. He was lonely, disappointed, neglected. We considered briefly how we would feel in such circumstances, when it appears that all is against us, when it looks like we've been abandoned and forgotten, times when we feel we could cry out, "How long, O Lord?" We don't know if Joseph ever cried out those words, but we do know that King David did. We have them here in Psalm 13. The feelings of despair and hopelessness that we would expect to feel in circumstances like Joseph's. The feelings of despair like David had in his God-ordained circumstances. These are maybe words that we've had on our own lips. "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" We're continuing with our series of studies through the Psalms this evening. We took a break of these back at May time. And in God's providence, we come this evening to Psalm 13. And you'll notice very similar themes to what we were thinking about this morning in the life of Joseph. And it's good for us. It's good for us to consider further God's care for us. It's good for us to be reminded that these feelings of despair, these feelings of hopelessness, that these dark times do creep in to our Christian lives. Psalm 13 is a precious psalm to me. It's a psalm that many believers have turned to in dark moments. It's a psalm that has been sung with hearts that have been burdened and broken. It's a psalm that has been sung with tears and weariness in people's lives. And yet it's a psalm that is full of great assurance for the believer. And so as we turn our attention to this tear-stained psalm of David, I want us to come asking the question, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" The first thing that we notice is when we are tired of troubles. How long when we are tired of troubles? We don't know when David wrote this psalm. There are many instances in his life where this hymn, where this song of faith would fit in. He suffered at the hands of Saul. He was hunted like a dog. He had to live out in the rocky crags and the mountains with his men. He was separated from the place of worship. How long, O Lord? Later in life, he had the struggles with his son Absalom, his rebellion, wanting to gain his father's throne again. David was cast out. He had to flee. It appeared as though there would be no end to his troubles. How long, O Lord? Whatever the situation, it's clear that David is tired. These difficulties have gone on longer than what he expected them to. It's as if God has forgotten. That's why he cries out four times. Look at the stress on this question. How long? How long? How long? How long? It isn't that David is looking for a number in his answer. He's not wanting to hear, "It'll be two more weeks, David. It'll be another month." This is the cry of a man who is weary in his trouble. How long? How much longer? I'm tired. I feel as though I can't go on. I can see no improvement. I can see no end to this trouble. That's why he cries out, how long? Notice that David's troubles here are spiritual, they're psychological, and they are social. Every part of him is affected. He firstly asks God in verse 1, how long will you forget me, Lord? Will it be forever? How long will you, Lord, hide your face from me? David is struggling spiritually. He feels as though fellowship with God is lost. He feels as though God is absent from him. Has God forgotten me? Has he abandoned me? David's spiritual life is in the darkness because he's so tired of his troubles. He's weary. He pours out his heart to God. David's troubles are also psychological. Verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? David is saying, my heart is broken. And all I seem to have are my own thoughts, my worries, my own efforts in trying to resolve my situation in my own mind. I take counsel by myself. I'm analyzing myself, self-treating my stress and weariness. I find no comfort in it. I've sorrow in my heart all the day. David is saying my own solutions, my own counsel, my own advice, it's doing me no good. The anxious thoughts of self. David is struggling spiritually and psychologically here, struggling in himself, in his own mind and heart, and he can find no relief. And so he says, how long? I'm tired of my troubles. David's troubles are also social. How long will my enemy exalt over me? David's enemies seem to be prospering and winning. His enemies appear to be getting the better of him. And David is tired and weary of seeing his enemies and God's enemies gaining victory. Later, when David is giving his reasons for petition and prayer in verse 4, we see that he's concerned not just for himself, but for the honor of God. I don't want people to say that you're a God who doesn't care. That's one of David's struggles. It isn't just for my sake, but people know I am one of yours, and they will speak badly of you, Lord, because of me. I don't want your enemies or my enemies to have any foothold, to have any ground on which they can mock and gloat over your people. This is David's social problems. The world looking in. The world mocking him. The world putting pressure on him. David says, I'm tired. I'm tired of it. How long? Perhaps you have felt like this in one or more of these areas. Your spiritual life is dull. You feel that fellowship with God has become distant. It's turned cold. How long? I'm tired of these troubles and these struggles. How long? Maybe you struggle in your mind. You struggle in your heart. Those anxious thoughts, that self-analyzing, the situation that's going on around you, and you keep it all inward. You say, how long? How long must I seek my own advice and find no end to my trouble. Maybe your problems have been this social side. Enemies, the world, those who have no time for Christ, putting pressure on you, seeming to gain victory over you as one of Christ's people. And you look and you think, how long, Lord, will these wicked people keep pressuring me, keep seeking to get the better of me, keep seeking to humiliate me and dishonor your name? How long? Are you tired of your troubles? How many times do we say, how long? And we want God to answer now. We often want relief now. We want to be rid of our troubles now. And when we stay in our troubles longer than we expected, we start to say, Lord, have you forgotten? Dale Ralph Davis writes of Psalm 13 and this experience. Wading through crud and darkness and anxiety and mockery. But when you never seem to come out on the other end, when you seem to be marooned in the thick of the mess and hanging on by your fingernails, and days pass and nothing changes, and God doesn't meet your last conceivable deadline before you cave in, what then? We can become tired in our troubles. And friends, this is a reality for many Christians. It's an experience that David, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he had and could record for us. And Christ Jesus, in his humanity, consider Christ's experiences. On the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That experience of abandonment, neglect. Christ's experience is, of course, different to ours because he was taking that, he was going through that for us, but it was still an experience that he had. And he experiences this. He knew trouble and hardship. He too grew weary and tired. How long when we are tired of our troubles? It's a reality for us. Now, if we just stop there, there would be a big problem with the sermon. If this is where it was left, we would be missing something wonderful. If we assumed, well, God must have forgotten. God mustn't care. But the psalm doesn't end there. And so David goes on to give his petitions in prayer. His petitions in prayer. And so how long when we petition God in prayer? When we petition God in prayer. David does the right thing. Even though he feels that God has forgotten, his heart betrays that lack of faith that he expresses on his lips. And his heart makes him cry out to God. The indwelling spirit makes him cry out to God. Why would he cry out to someone that he felt had abandoned him, had turned his face away from him? The world right now would be saying to David, move on. This religion thing just isn't working for you. Forget about it. It's causing you more trouble than it's worth. Just ignore it. That's what's best for you. But that's not what David's heart says. And when he feels as though God has forgotten, he cries out to God. He does the only thing that he knows he can do. This is what we have as believers. The Holy Spirit indwelling us makes us cry out to God in prayer. And friends, when we are tired of our troubles, That crying out to God in prayer, that even of itself should be something that brings us comfort. The Spirit testifying to us that we have another, that we have an advocate, that we have a Father that we can still approach and come to and plead with, even when we are tired and weary and feel like saying, "Have you forgotten?" David doesn't give up. He prays. We have this prayer for us in verses 3 and 4. He prays firstly for strength. He says, "Give light to my eyes, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Here David is asking that God will lift up his head for a bit, that God will give him renewed strength and energy for the day. "Lord, I'm so weary and tired that it feels as though I would just die, so give me the strength I need for today. Supply me with what I need right now. Give this light to my eyes." How many times have we been in those troubles, those dark days, and God, through His Word, has brought us some relief? A verse of comfort. You're down, you're troubled within your heart. Everything seems dark. You pick up God's Word. You read. There's something there. A verse you read. And it's just that little glimpse of light that you need for that moment. That strength. That encouragement. That's what David is praying for here. Light up my eyes. Give me strength. Bring me comfort and encouragement. We read God's Word, and it's that passage that reminds us of something that we have in Christ Jesus. And it just gives us that strength for that moment. Or a word from a brother or sister in Christ. Someone simply telling us that they're praying for us. Or a simple expression of Christ-like love towards us. That glint of light to the eyes. God graciously strengthening us for that bit longer, giving us a glimpse of what is to come. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he was about to go to the cross, a low point, difficult time, a weary time, a troubled time. He cries out to God and he's sweating drops of blood. But then there's the light to the eyes. God sends one of his messengers, an angel, to draw alongside. Light to the eyes. That strengthening for the moment. We have to remember that God will never bring us through any circumstance that is going to be too heavy for him to carry. He won't let us endure anything that we cannot carry in his strength and goodness. Perhaps this evening you feel as though your eyes are drooping. You're looking down into the depths of the sleep of death. What are you to do? Pray. Pray for strength for that moment. For that day, Lord, give light to my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Make your petition, Lord, give me the strength. Lift up my head for a bit, that I might be encouraged. And how often has God done that for us? That moment, that day, that evening. A little bit of light to the eyes to strengthen us and keep us. David prays for strength. And David secondly prays for God's glory. "Answer me, O Lord, my God. lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David again is writing as the inspired psalmist. This is David, the chosen king. The royal line that will lead to Christ Jesus. And David knows that it is God's honor that is at stake. David's ruin would say that God does not keep his promises. The end of King David would mean that God's covenant is not reliable. It's the honor of God that is at stake in David's prayer. And so he prays, Lord, glorify your name. Don't let my enemies, your enemies, have the victory. I want to move beyond our own personal experiences. We're thinking of the church. When Christ's enemies seek to destroy the church, when they try to silence the church, when they attack the people, it's the glory of our Savior that is at stake. Because the church can be tired in its troubles. The church can grow weary. The church can cry out, how long, O Lord, as they're persecuted, as they suffer, as the world comes against them again and again and again. We are praying that God will be glorified. Lord, don't let your enemy win. Don't let them overcome. Don't let them rejoice in the church being shaken, your people being shaken. We want Christ's name to be glorified and honored. We want Christ to receive the praise and worship for the sake of his name. He is the head of the body, the church. When we are tempted to ask, how long? Pray that God would glorify his name. That Christ will be exalted. That those who come against us in our own lives, in our own personal circumstances, where our integrity and honor is tied up with the honor of Christ, when we're walking with Christ and people try to malign us, when people try to seek to use Christ's name in a dishonorable way because of us, when we are tired that people mock us for our faith, when we are tired of the trouble that comes in on us because we are Christians and we're walking with Christ, and people seem to be running Christ's name down, pray. Pray that Christ will be glorified and honored. We pray for strength. We pray that God will glorify his name. How long, when we make our petitions to God in prayer? That's what we're to do. Pray. Thirdly and finally, when we rejoice in rescue. When we rejoice in rescue. Verses 5 and 6. A quick reading of Psalm 13 would make us think these two verses don't belong in this psalm. They are so far removed from verses 1 and 2. In verses 1 and 2, there's a questioning of God's presence and God's remembering us, to turning around to rejoicing in God. And it all happens in such a short space of time. Seems impossible. But we know what makes the difference. We know what David's assurance is. We know his reason for rejoicing. We have it here in these verses. God is the God of steadfast love. God is the God who saves us. And God is the God who richly blesses us. And David's perspective is fixed. His eyes are lifted up and he considers what God has done. Now we don't know if David's trouble has passed. We don't know if everything was sorted out the way that David would want it to be. We expect it wasn't. But that's not the point. The point isn't that David had everything his own way, that life was going to be easy from now on. The point is that David looks beyond the circumstances and that he sees there's a much greater issue. He sees, firstly, that God is with him in steadfast love. God is with him in steadfast love. And David rejoices in this. God is with David in his circumstances. God's love towards his servant hasn't changed. This immovable, enduring, eternal, covenant love of God is with David. Think of that. Being so tired of the troubles. Being so weary of everything that's going on. And crying out to God. And what is God's relationship to David? It's one of covenant love. I have made my promises with you, David. I am the God who loves you, who's forgiven you. I'm the God who's brought you into my kingdom. The God who upholds you and keeps you in the midst of the darkness and the trouble. David's perspective is rejoicing that the God of love is with him. If we are Christ's, then this same steadfast love is with us. How long, when you are tired of your troubles, will you keep being tired of your troubles? Remember that this love of God holds you, keeps you, sustains you. That price that has been paid for us, that love that has brought us into God's family, it's the same love that remains for us as we are tired and weary of our troubles. God's love to us through Christ. Several commentators have called this the anchor in David's troubles. The troubles might be blowing and tossing his life around, but David remains rooted. He remains stable because of his knowledge of the steadfast love of God that will not let him go. God is with you in steadfast love through Christ. In your troubles, you cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long?" But in God's grace, we know that whatever length of time it is, his love is still with us. How long will these troubles go on? How long is God's steadfast love with us? Friends, we can rejoice in that and praise him for that. I might grow weary and tired in my troubles, but those troubles will last shorter than the length of time God's love is set on us. Those troubles will last a shorter length of time than that steadfast love of God that is fixed on us for all eternity. God with us in steadfast love. And we can rejoice in rescue because God saves us. God saves us. My heart rejoices in your salvation. God delivers us. There's many times when he will deliver us out of troubles. There will be times when the dark clouds disappear. When that darkness of the soul is lifted, there will be times when that suffering is removed and when we see God's enemies defeated. That happens and we can rejoice in those times of earthly rescue. But it doesn't always happen. And yet we can still rejoice because we know that in Christ we have the greatest rescue. Our price for sin has been paid in its fullness. We have been saved from an eternity in hell. We have been saved to eternal life. God has rescued us. And in this life, we might ask, how long will this pain and suffering continue? But then we also have to ask ourselves the question, how long will our salvation last? It's a huge difference, an infinite difference. The length of time of trials and troubles here is so much shorter than the salvation that we have in Christ, eternal life. We can't compare the two. We rejoice in that God has saved us. How long in our troubles? How long in our salvation? And then we rejoice in God's wonderful blessings to us. David says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. God's blessings to us overflow. They're abundant. They are many. They are rich. Think of some of them. Forgiveness of sins. New life in Christ. Adoption into God's family. God being with us and changing us and making us more like Christ day by day. The blessing of an eternal inheritance to come. And then those material blessings that we have. The church family that we're a part of here. The unity and fellowship that we enjoy together. God's grace to us day by day. Think about it. Think about the blessings. We have to say God has been so good to us in Christ. He richly provides for us. He has dealt in abundance with us, in an overflowing measure with us. How long will my troubles last? How long, O Lord? I don't want to minimize our struggles and the weariness we can have. But we must remember how long will God keep dealing bountifully with us. Remember the rich, rich blessings he gives to us. And friends, because of these things, we can rejoice in the great rescue that he has brought. We can rejoice in the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. As we are in the depths, we can pray. We can look to God through Christ. We can rejoice. Psalm 13, it's a realistic prayer for us when we're in dark times. When it looks as though there is no end in sight to our troubles. When it looks as though those trials have gone on far too long. When we start to say, how long, O Lord? We can do that. This psalm allows us to pray that prayer. Lord, how long? But we don't end there. We come to him in prayer, asking that he will give us the strength that we need. Give light to our eyes for this moment, for this day. Lift up my head. Lord, glorify your name, the name of Jesus Christ. And then we remember what God has done for us. We rejoice that what God has planned and prepared for us will last so much longer than any trouble or hardship that we face. That God's provisions for us are so great and wonderful. We can trust in that eternal, steadfast love. Amen.